Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Over the past week or two, it's been kind of an increase in rhetoric about the cost of Obamacare rising. I think we need to explore that just a little bit because I'm seeing a bit of a desperate attempt to lie about how awesome Obamacare is. I read an article from some pundit from LA Times who basically glossed over, and it's just amazing how these people do this, the pain associated with Obamacare. I mean, basically, he's trying to tell people they should be happy that it costs more for them to see their doctor and that that has nothing to do with the actual delivery of health care. I mean, just completely glossing over the fact that somebody is carrying a health insurance card and they can't afford to actually go to the physician or get a CT or a lab study done, as if just carrying the insurance is good enough. I mean, it just disgusts me, honestly, that people who are just totally clueless, win-at-all-cost mindset, forget about reality, forget about anything that has to do with the fact that this thing is... Well, I say again, maybe it is working because that's what they wanted, which is for people not to be able to access it, to pay a tax, to never use it, and to like it. You know, this is all marketing, neuro-linguistic programming in action. If you say it enough that it's good and you should like it, then you should. I mean, it's just overwhelming. Up is down, down is up. Everything they say is the opposite of what they actually say. My favorite now is the president saying that we're the most loved country in the world and our reputation is awesome, and he would never practice divisive politics. I mean, it's the opposite of what these guys are talking about now. We've lived it for 6.5 years now. All right, I can't even, it's like we're in a time warp, frankly, like it will never end. But for the last two administrations, we've been living with what they say is not what they do. And you're not really living it. It's not what you think it is. It's what we say it is. And you're supposed to just say, okay, it's mind control or attempts at it.
I got to throw in too. Did you hear that his other comment? He's the closest thing to a Jew that's ever been in the White House.
Yeah, I think I heard. Somebody did tell me that, which I thought was hysterical. But again, it's the opposite of what they say. The Patriot Act is not about really protecting us. It's about control. Affordable Health Care or Affordable Care Act is not affordable. It's not about care. It's about control. The only thing that underpins all of this is the fact that you're losing autonomy, that you are sacrificing yourself to the altar of what the government wants you to do, and you should like it. And nothing is good about it. I mean, Obamacare is a perfect example. It's become a slush fund. They want to now have a special overseer to see where this money's gone. You know, if they'd spend half as much money that they've wasted on actual health care, maybe the cost wouldn't be so high. We're talking about millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being wasted in this supposed website. The website for their, what was it called, Dave, now?
Obamacare Affordable.
No, the website that they made, which is actually unconstitutional as well. I mean, it's unlawful because the bill says you can only have the government give money to a state that actually has its own exchange. But they're giving it to any state that has a federal exchange. You know, that's what this Burwell ruling hopefully will tell the truth and reverse that. I mean, it's just become whatever it takes to get it going, whatever it takes to keep it running, whatever it takes to prop it up so that it still exists while it's destroying the private health industry. You know, that's what they want. It's going to be a point of no return at some point. You now have Blue Cross Blue Shield asking for a 50% raise in premiums. Well, they're making hand over fist already. How much money do they need? I mean, they already deny care 24/7. They make you pay a premium. They don't pay the doctor. They claw back the money that they do pay the doctor. The hospitals are getting less money because now they have to jump through 1,000 hoops for value-added care. It's just a joke, honestly. So, I mean, how much money do the CEOs and the shareholders actually need? Where does it stop? There's no brakes on any of these guys. And the fact that they can continue to cry poor, just really, it's astounding. They have a subsidy from the government to help pay for people who can't afford their premiums. The hospitals get money, as I said a couple of weeks ago, to take care of indigent patients, yet they're still crying poor. They're not for profit, lots of them, so they're not paying any taxes, but they can't pass along any of the profits that they make to the patient care. Where does it end? Well, my favorite now, I keep saying, where are they going to get the doctors from for this system? Because people are retiring in droves, they're going into other professions, they're committing suicide. The doctor pool is drying up. And I now really, I said it before years ago, but now it's really on. They are creating medical schools in the Caribbean. My favorite, I just read about one, a banner ad popped up about a Caribbean medical school in St. Vincent, and I think it was Anguilla, I believe, yes. And you don't have to take the MCAT, which is the pretest that you have to do to qualify to apply to medical school in the United States. So let's just get rid of the MCAT. You can just go. It's affordable. Who the heck is becoming a doctor now? Good luck. I mean, really, if you get somebody, I say less than 50 at this point, it's getting to that point. You're not sure what you're going to get. And I've seen, again, some horrific things come through my office to supposed care. Somebody with an abscess or cellulitis, which is an infection of the skin, that if it's in the center of your face, in your nose, upper lip, our ENT dogma is that's a patient that you have to be extremely careful with because it can become meningitis if that infection spreads. This patient was shuffled around, was given an antibiotic cream instead of an IV. I mean, the guy went to an ER, for God's sake. Nobody called an ENT consult. Nobody put him on IV antibiotics. And by the grace of God, he actually got an okay antibiotic that's reversed it somewhat. But suppose he didn't. Suppose he didn't respond. I mean, he would be in ICU probably now. This is the standard of care we're talking about. You can go to a hospital, ER, not get an appropriate consultation, be told to follow up with an ENT as an outpatient. Then you follow up with the ENT. You get to see a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner. I'm not against them as a specialty or as part of the healthcare team, but they should not be the first line of care. They just don't have the same training. I'm going to say it till the cows come home. It's supposed to be an extension of the doctor visit. The doctor sees the patient, and they take over whatever care the doctor deems necessary. That's how it should be. I mean, it's like having somebody with four years of experience, no surgical experience, by the way, not the same training from a physiological perspective to take over care when it's complicated. This is what happens when you do that. So now this patient has to take time off from work, perhaps could have easily ended up in the hospital with an IV antibiotic or in an ICU. I mean, where does it stop? So, I mean, there's consequences for the government taking over healthcare. There's consequences for people who, to their own detriment, want to be right at all costs and want to demonize anybody who they don't agree with. This is just a bad, there's no debate. These people say they want to have a friendly debate. They want to, come to a middle ground with you. They don't. They want you to shut up. That's their idea of a debate. No debate. My way or no way. And to top it off, I'm not going to do any research. I'm not going to try to understand the problem, to try to come up with a solution. I'm just going to do what I'm told, and that's right. Doesn't matter about anything else, about reality. It's just, it's right. When do we stop giving these people power? That's my question. just because they make it, just because they say it, doesn't make it true. It just doesn't. It's time. There's enough evidence on everything that we're dealing with now to tell us that it's not working, not in the way they told us it was going to work. You're going to put in 30 million people. They're going to be able to see whatever doctor they want to. It's going to be cheaper. You're going to be able to have whatever health care you decide you want. Come on. Is it never? It was never going to happen. It couldn't. It didn't in the first place before they changed the health care system. It didn't happen then. Why would it happen under Obamacare? They can't even run a post office. How much is the postage rate now, Dave? I don't even know. Can't even keep up with it. It keeps going up. Your service keeps getting crappier. And that's how the government works it. It's complete opposite again. You want to talk about opposites. Opposite to an entrepreneur where I have to be better. If I have my own shop, my own office, my own show, I better be good. I won't be in business because you won't come to me. But when you're the biggest game in town, when you're too big to fail, when you run, when you make the rules, and you can control who gets to play the game, then it's on. It's on. You can do whatever. You can be as low. You can go as low as you want to go, and they believe we have to accept it, but we don't. I mean, the show is saying the same thing. I feel like every week I come on, you don't have to take it. You don't have to settle. You have choices. At least at this point, I'm not sure how long it will last, but at this point, you have a choice. As a patient, as a physician, as a citizen of this country, you all have choices. I'm not depending anymore on the government to help me. I just don't believe that. If TSA is any indication, the government doesn't know what they're doing. 95% get through with bombs and, you know, all sorts of contraband that they tested. You heard about that, right? 95% fail rate. If any other company, profession had a 95% fail rate, they would be out of business.
And what did they do with the gentleman that was ahead of TSA?
I don't know, but he had a press conference saying how awesome it was. That's what I remember.
Well, he got fired yesterday from head of TSA, but they gave him immediately another job paying him more.
I'm sorry, it was the Homeland Security guy who got on and said how fabulous everything was. You're so pissed off, that guy?
Yeah.
He's gone where now?
Well, I don't know where he's at, but he got fired because of the 95%, but they immediately gave him another job.
That's government in action, failing upward. Every single member of this administration, this Congress, is an example of failing upward. Let's talk about Denny Hastert for 2 seconds. You know, the old Speaker of the House. This man became Speaker of the House with basically no... He was in the Congress for a very short period of time. He got into his House seat by accident, basically, because one person had cancer, one person... It was some sort of health issue on both of them, and he was selected to get in there. You have to wonder who these people are and how much people have over them. I don't think anybody is clean. It's all about leverage. And we're the ones who never have it. And we have them. This is the sad part, Dave. Before, I'm sure we have to go to break in a minute. The sad part is, as American citizens, we actually have the most leverage of anything in this country. We choose not to use it. But those guys in Congress are being blackmailed, you name it. There's all sorts of rings going on up in Congress. I can only imagine the dirt that goes up there. And that's why they vote in ways that you don't even, like, why would the Republicans vote for TPP? Why would they vote for Obamacare, not getting rid of it? Because they're being blackmailed in some way. You know, I've heard a lot of things about this Hastert situation. Boehner was under him. It's all a group of people. You know, keep your mouth closed and you'll keep advancing. That's basically what it is. But how long are we going to let them just get away with it? I guess we have to take a break. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I know this is a little bit more of a political bent to the show today, but it ties into medicine. You know, I think that what goes on in Congress and what's all the rhetoric that's been going on is about globalism. It's about us becoming or putting ourselves completely under the yoke of the UN. You know, we don't talk a lot about that, but I've said it in the past, and I just want to tie this rope in, that Obamacare is didn't just come out of the blue. It's been sitting on a back pot for many years. We are the last developed country that will enter the ICD-10 model of coding, which is a socialized medicine medical system model. So Canada has it, UK has it, everybody, and now we're doing it. And in order to do that, they have to break the private healthcare system in our country, which is based on free market, was based on free market, individual healthcare, not population-based medicine. We were completely opposite from everybody, and it works better. It always had, it got broken over the past 10 or 15 years based on the movement, subtle but relentless movement towards this centralized, globalized healthcare system. We talk about death panels and rationing. You know, it's a hot word. It's one of those words that make people get emotional and turn their brains off. But all you have to do is look at the UK system to see where we're going to be. They've already gone through socialized medicine in the complete sense, universal health care, everybody covered. They don't tell you that. They rationed care based on age, so you were only allowed to get certain procedures based up to a certain age. That's how their system was set up. We don't really talk about that very much. But now there's a really interesting article in The Telegraph that came out on May 29th, which talks about the National Health Service. It already said it's going bankrupt. People have to wait longer and longer. They've broken their system into a two-tier system where people with means go to private doctors and get what they want done outside of the National Health Service because it doesn't work. Well, now they're coming for the seniors in a bigger way. And I predict we're going to go the same way. It's already starting in our country. But just listen to this. They have an article saying that senior citizens will be treated like second-class citizens and denied medical care under new targets that are under the auspices of the UN. There is some sort of proposal called Sustainable Development Goals. It's always the opposite of what they say. It's not sustainable. It's knocking people off. So under this UN mandate or this proposal, they want to limit, and this sounds all benign and innocuous, right? They want to limit the number of deaths from diseases like cancer, stroke, diabetes, and dementia by one-third by 2030. Now, most of those diseases affect the senior citizens more than young people throughout the world. So they're trying to produce a result, a value-based result, where you decrease the number of deaths in order to reach a target. But in order to do that, you have to treat the patients in such a way that you push your resources towards those people that will give you the better number. So it's interesting. Apparently, the seniors aren't counted in this number. You have to be under 70 in order to be counted as a viable person who will enter the statistic if you get saved. So if you have 75 years old and you have cancer, they're not going to spend resources on you because you don't really matter in their numbers, in their number crunching, where they're trying to reach a certain goal. And so at the end of this thing, they talk about saving about 64,000 lives. Let me see if I can get, okay, here we go. If the target is met, they're going to save 42,000 lives each year for people under 70. But if they would expand their base or their population to everybody in their country, as opposed to people under 70, they'd save 130,000 people per year. But I guess the other, you know, the set over 70 don't count because they've already lived their lives and they just need to be made comfortable until they die. This is the mindset of these people. It's not about healthcare. How can you? This is says it in no uncertain terms what they believe about anybody over 70. We are adopting that system. Berwick wants it. The Obama administration wants it. People who believe in universal health care will not, though they're going to want it too, because you can't afford to take care of everybody and give them everything they want, because it was never going to happen. how many ways can I say it? This is a death-driven system. It is not about health. It is not about preventative care. It's about fixing it so the numbers work. That's exactly how the Accountable Care Organization is going to work after this passage of H.R. 2. That is going to pay doctors, hospitals, anybody in the accountable care pod, they're going to be paid for denying you care. It's going to start off with people who are above 70 probably because they have the most catastrophic illnesses, but trust and believe it'll drop down to neonates, infants, because they're going to cost just as much money if they have a medical condition as someone who's in their 70s and 80s. And they're going to be deemed as they're not going to be viable. Let's just get rid of them and save the system money and like it. And you have these people, these ghouls, who sit around and say that it's okay because the end justifies the means. Forget about human life. At this point, for these guys, the life of Earth is more important than humans. That's what that sustainable, green, that whole mindset is, that we're the problem. Human beings are the problem. We're the disease that's destroying the world, and we need to be removed. That's what they mean. It's not all sweetness and light when you see polar bears on TV. It's not that. They want you gone. And they'll do it by any means necessary. This is one mean. You name the list of things that they're doing to remove people from the world is endless, it seems. You've got healthcare systems that are terrible. You've got vaccines that seem to be knocking people off. There's another study that's come out from the UK. We don't get any in the United States, but in the UK, where they talk about the HPV vaccine and how that's causing a lot of deaths, maiming of women who take that. It is the most complication-ridden vaccine of all of them that's given, by far. Beats the flu vaccine, beats MMR, all of that. For 4,000, people who get, cervical cancer per year, yet you're going to vaccinate every young girl. Does that even make sense? We don't even know what that does to the reproductive system down the road. And I'm digressing for a second because I'm saying something that sounds probably like heresy to some people who love vaccines, but you have to look at the vaccine history to actually understand this. There was a vaccine given in Africa for, let me see, what was it for again? I'm drawing a blank of what they said it was for, but what it had in it was an antibody to human HCG, which is the pregnancy hormone. When you're pregnant, it goes up and helps you maintain your pregnancy. Well, it had an antibody to it. So women who would become pregnant would lose their children because this antibody would attack them and not allow the HCG levels to rise. That's eugenics, people. That's genocide. And they use that against people in Africa. And it was found out and stopped. But how do you know this isn't going on with HPV? I'm not being an alarmist, I'm being a realist. It's not like it's never happened. It's happened. Governments have done it to people, and the pharmaceutical industry has done it to people. Why would you blindly take something and you don't exactly know what it's going to do? And if you read the inserts, they'll tell you they're not sure that it does what it says it's going to do. They're not sure how it affects every population, how it affects children, how it affects pregnant women. At some point, they even said in this insert that you shouldn't take it if you're pregnant. And that's what I learned. And so I can't imagine why all these pregnant women are getting all these shots. And it's okay to put mercury and other things that are part of this, the vaccine, to try to rev up your immune system. It's just kind of crazy. But you have to look at the other side of it. Who stands to gain? They've gotten immunity, these companies, from prosecution. If they make a bad vaccine, oh well, you can go to the vaccine court maybe in the United States. In the UK, they're paying out damages to people. But those are a fraction of what the money they're making when the government mandates that you take a vaccine. The government's buying them. They're getting paid no matter what. They can come up with the next new vaccine and not reap what they sow. And until they have a skin in the game and they have a vested interest in making it safe, I don't think we should be mandated to take anything. Just common sense, honestly. So let's get back to the UK. and this culling that seems to be going on. Everybody's going to be a senior citizen at some point. For those who think in their 20s that this is all great, you're going to be 71 at some point. And are you really going to want to be the person that they pull the plug on or deny the care to because you're too expensive? I mean, there's no empathy. There's no humanity in any of this. I just don't get it. Even the doctors in the UK are now up in arms about this because they're the ones that are going to have to implement this. And they think this is going against a Hippocratic Oath. And it is. But again, doctors have a choice. Stop feeding this system. I would drop out of the NHS faster than you say boo. They're forcing people, and let's take a break, and to talk about how the UN is forcing people in Sweden to provide abortion on demand for anybody, whether the doctor wants to or not. This is the system that we're entering. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I just want people to open their minds and start looking at the world. I mean, because we're part of this system now, and it's not a good picture that's being painted, I know. But this is what's going on outside of our country. While they try to lull us into this dream state of having Obamacare and everything's going to be great, in reality, these countries who've preceded us in having universal health care, everything on demand, everything free, they've changed their underpinnings. It's not about health anymore for them either. It's about cost control, and it's about putting value on human life. And I should say taking away value of human life. You know, I was talking about the UK before the break, and they're alarmed. The doctors there are alarmed that they're moving their system not on the viability of somebody, not on what they can contribute, but based on actuarial issues. You know, if you're over 70, you basically have lived your life. Doesn't matter how viable, how much of a zest for life you actually have. My dad was 90, who worked in his garden, sharp as a tack, drove his car. He was in better shape than people 60 and 50 years old. And had they just used his number, he never would have gotten surgery. He would never have lived another year to dance at his own birthday, because they would have put a value on him. How dare you? Who decides who lives and dies? It's never in the favor of the person. It's some groupthink. It's some central planner who's deciding this. Now, I mentioned in Sweden, which is actually pretty alarming as well, that they know that for the OBGYNs in that country can no longer say from a conscientious objector point of view, I don't want to do an abortion because it's against my religion, it's against my ethics or morals. They don't have that option anymore. Their law now mandates that anybody who gives is an OBGYN, must deliver abortion on demand, period. And their attitude in the government was, well, if you don't want to do that, then you should find another profession. You know, you cannot be an OBGYN there if that's the case. So here you are, you've trained all your life, someone's taken away your livelihood and then forced you to go against your own internal guide for what's right and wrong to, you know, make the system run. That's the system that doctors and patients will enter. That's not universal health care in a way that I want to see it delivered. I'm sure most people, if they think about this, would not want to conscript a doctor to do something against their will. Who wants to go to a doctor who does that? And I can only imagine what the morale of the doctors in that country are. But as Sweden goes, so does everybody else. So they're not the only country now that does that, but hey, you know, the UN is no joke. It seems to run everything all of a sudden. And sustainable growth and population control and the good of the many, and there's too many people. They are, I guess we're known as useless eaters is what we're really known as. Those people who believe in that stuff, once they grab you, once they have this system in place, they're going to implement it. You know, this is not an, I don't think this is a huge brain that has to figure this out. They're softening us up for the kill. I mean, I guess that's the only way to describe it. First you do it with carrots, then you do it with sticks. The carrot was, for doctors, you'll get $40,000 towards your electronic medical record system. You'll have more patients than you can shake a stick at. It'll be awesome. You'll get 30 million people coming in. The insurance companies get paid. You know, if you don't get enough patients, the government will subsidize you, so we'll make sure you're whole. After the system's in place and they remove as many, if not all, private doctors as they can, they're already removing private hospitals and community-based hospitals, so you only have two or three big centers in every single city, and every doctor will be somehow attached to them, which by definition is universal health care, since there's one pot of money that everybody's accessing, which is government-based. That's universal health care. That's single payer. And as soon as the government gets that grid in place, they're going to start looking at cost control. There's already talk about paying for certain cancer drugs, Medicare, paying for certain cancer drugs that, quote, work, as opposed to those that don't. That means they're going to use some one-size-fits-all. They already did it. You know, in Arizona, they stopped covering medicine, I think it was Avastin, for uterine cancer. Because it's not, it doesn't really, they believe it only saves a small percentage of people. So here we go. If you have an orphan disease, something that's not very common, something that costs a lot to treat, that they say that it's not worth treating, you're not getting it treated. Or you're going to pay for it on your own. And basically, they've already priced this out in terms of pharmaceuticals. So good luck paying, you know, $10,000 a month for a cancer treatment or whatever it is, $40,000. So you basically got rationed. And it's a death panel. I mean, do you see it any differently, Dave?
Not at all. Not at all. And yeah, I guess it's to the ultimate end. What, you know, I bring this up as a question. I bet one country that doesn't have this is Japan. And because Japan respects their elderly and life, and, you know, we forget in the United States that somebody over 70 might have a lot to offer.
Yeah.
A child, the experience that that person at 70 has had, that is vital information. It took them 70 years to get it.
Absolutely. You know, they've seen it, they've done it, and they can help you not make the same mistakes that they made. And that's the value. That's one of the values of having seniors. You know, that you can draw from.
You know, I wanted to pass on one other thing. I've been very fortunate in life, and one of my things that I wanted to do, as I've mentioned to you before, was I was an EMT for a while, and not only did I got to deliver one child in the back of an ambulance, and then I was with my wife when she had our two sons. And I've known a number of OBGYNs over my period of time, almost 70 years. And I don't know, I know there's some bad eggs in every basket and all this kind of stuff, but I've been blessed with the friends that I've had that have been in the medical profession. And they have one thing in common, and an OBGYN has something else a little bit different from the normal doctor. And it bothered me what you said about the mandate in Sweden, mm-hmm. and that is the fact that seeing a child born, and I think a lot of these doctors feel the same way, it's a miracle. You can say what you want. Yes, there have been millions and billions of people born over the years, mm-hmm. but that baby, when they come out, that is a miracle it's just a miracle. Mm-hmm. And I think most doctors feel that way. Most OBGYNs feel that way, and that's why they want to practice. And for them to be mandated to kill, become killers, my God, I can see how they would, it would drive me crazy.
It would. I mean, it's, if you believe in the sanctity of life, for you to be forced to take a life, an innocent life, this is not someone who's on death row or anything like that. How does that affect you emotionally? What does that do to you as a human being? There's a toll every time you do it.
Can't imagine.
I can't either. And so good luck getting a GYN or OBGYN to want to go into that profession there, or God knows who you're getting who want to do that. I have question mark. There's another story now out of Canada. The Canadian pediatricians recommend letting 22-week-old preemies die. I mean, should... Their question, again, I told you this was going to happen. The question is, should doctors try to save tiny newborns? And they're quite, you know, their mindset is they take a lot of resources. Are they going to be able to be productive citizens? What's this, you know, that's their mindset. I was born 4 pounds, 8 ounces when I was born. What if I were born now in Canada? I don't know if I'd be, would they help me survive, or would they starve me and dehydrate me to death? I don't know. You can't say that. There's no absolute to human life, right? Sick.
You know, you wonder, where would Helen Keller be? Where would so many others that have been born with some type of disability, large or small, but they were born for a purpose?
Everybody's got a purpose. Yeah. Everybody. That's why I've said it before. You can't put... Nobody's equal. Nobody's better than anybody. We're all different. So everybody's got a gift, a talent, something that they're born with that somebody else, that makes them unique. And to put a value on it is sick. And the people who do it are the ones who feel less than about themselves, who have to put their foot on the neck of somebody else to make them elevate themselves. They're the problem. You know, it's their lack of self-love, self-respect, that leads them down this path. How can anybody even argue for this? I mean, it's like going back in time. They did this to people in our country, in South Carolina. I read a story about a lady who unfortunately was raped. They said that she had a mental defect. So they sterilized her, didn't tell her. This is what the mindset of the government is. You are just a chess piece on a board. You don't count. This is what we think of you. This is our value placed on you. And so you're expendable. That, in a medical standpoint, from a medical mindset, that is counter, opposite to what we train to do. It's just...
We got to wake up and we got to start... We have to fight. We have to fight. And I think the government is brushing us, painting us into a corner. And it's going to be them or us. And we've got to fight.
Well, the first way to fight is to opt out, is to withdraw your consent. We're not talking about violence. We're talking about withdraw your consent. It's the fact that we stay silent and let it go, that it emboldens them, it empowers them. Every time we stand up, there's not been one instance recently where people have just stopped doing things that have made things have changed. You know, you've got all these fast food companies taking horrible ingredients out of their foods, supposed food, you know, are now going organic, that are now sourcing from out of, you know, genetically modified pods, you know. It works. If we just stop eating it, stop going to see these crappy movies that treat us like dirt, stop voting for politicians until, well, I mean, it's kind of hard. They're just so corrupt. I'm not sure anybody who goes up there will come out decently. I mean, if I had my way, we wouldn't vote at all, and that would stop the system. But I guess it's a little out there. But I mean, if you don't vote them in, then they can't do the dirt. That's what it comes down to. And then they'll have to come to us and really do the duty that they're supposed to do and get rid of lobbyists. Those are the worst of the worst. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, it's in the break we were talking about just the ability to see a life born. You know, this, the potential is just boundless, and somebody is just stepping on somebody's potential. That's just, somebody should be up in arms about that. You should just be pissed that some Bigfoot, somebody who decides whether you live or die, what your value is based on numbers. And, you know, this has been done before, has it not? You know, ever? Hitler? China? How many girls did they slaughter in China or probably still continue to do? I mean, this is not humanity. Ethicists should not run things. They don't have the same human gene as we do. It's all about the bigger picture, you know, the numbers. There's no empathy with this kind of system. It's about cost-driven system. You are a cost center in the system. Either you're a voter that's going to help them stay in power. You are, you know, you're on this earth to work for a certain, you know, certain thing that they need you to work for. I mean, there's one of those executive orders. I forget the number of it now. But if we get into a state of emergency, the government gets to decide the workforce. So they get to decide how many psychiatrists we need, how many truck drivers we need, and you'll be forced into that kind of system. Forget about entering a profession that you want to enter. You're going to go where you are, quote, needed. If you have a truck or some sort of personal equipment, they can seize it because the government needs it for government business. I mean, this is not a system that anybody should want to live under.
You know, you think about what you just said, though. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me in the least because the government can't do anything right to begin with. So how do you think they could do that right? You know, they'll screw it up. They'll have 2 trillion ice cream makers when they meant to have, you know, 40 extra doctors or something. Yeah. They'll screw it up. They probably always screw up everything else. They'll screw up that job.
It's probably right. I mean, society wouldn't work well. It's not working well right now since they've put their finger on the scale of things. I mean, it's, instead of letting people just be, we all want the same thing. It's not like we all want different things. You just want to be left alone. Most people, 99% of the people, I think, want to be left alone. And they're not about controlling other people. They just want to go to work, have a good time on the weekends, have their kids grow up to be productive, healthy citizens. They want to die in their bed at an old age. You know, take a few vacations along the way. It's not like people are actively trying to hurt anybody. I don't care what race they are. But we're now in a system where it's like these puppet masters are driving this energy, this feeling or this movement towards working against your own interests. They're telling you what group you should like, what group you should want to belong to, whether or not you really fit into this group, but you should have a group think mentality. And this group, your group is always victim. You're the victim. Somebody else did it to your group, so you should do it back to them. And you should get the government to help you because they'll make it fair for everybody. It doesn't work for anybody that way. What their fairness means is that you pay to the government to suppress you in one way and somebody else in another. But everybody gets suppressed. This is the bottom line. The only people who are benefiting from the system are the friends of. And I wonder how many friends of there'll be when the system really comes into place. All these corporate, you know, largesse that the government's giving corporate entities, all these insurance companies, they're probably only going to be one by the time this thing all ends. You know? You might, and I remember when I first went into practice.
Owned by the Clintons.
Or at least somehow getting money from the Clintons. But when I went into practice, it must have been about 15, 20 different insurance companies to work with. It's now down to about four. And of those ones that are left over, they're subsidiaries of the major four. And I think that's going to be down to one at the end of this. And there'll be one major hospital system run by the government underneath this. I mean, maybe they might have little under name, you know, little pods of different names, but they're all going to be at the mercy of government payments. By definition, the government's going to run them. And it's all the, I mean, the amount of regulations that they write in this bill after the fact. These are just add-ons just to make it work, just to prop it up. All it does is make it more expensive to run a hospital, to be a doctor, and it doesn't make the service better. For you to mark someone's throat because they're getting their tonsils out doesn't make it better. It doesn't help the system. And all the little hoops you have to jump through to be a physician doesn't make it better. It just makes you more apathetic and more likely to just check it on the the electronic medical record as if it's done, whether you did it or not. This is human nature. The more you put yokes on people, the more dumbed down you make them, the more docile you make them. You make the system run like crap. It doesn't run well. It just runs down to the lowest common denominator. And then you end up with people with misdiagnoses, paying up through the arm and leg for what they get. Having somebody could care less next conveyor belt, looking at an iPad and picking out what they should write for you based on what your diagnosis is, you know, this is what you get. If you want that, have at it. But for those of us who don't, all I'm asking is that we not mandate this so that we, I don't care if they repeal Obamacare at this point, it's irrelevant. Just take away the mandate. Let it find its own level. And I'm absolutely sure that people will opt out of this system. Those that can will. And those that unfortunately have to be in it, I think it would work better because you don't have so much extra waste. It can run more efficiently.
You know, you said something a minute ago, and I was thinking, I remember the time when we had 20, maybe we had more than 20 different insurance companies. But there was competition. It was capitalism. It was capitalism. You had people knocking on your door wanting your business and showing you, I have a better plan than XYZ does, and we want to work with doctors, and we do this and do that. And it's like everything. You take the competition, you take the capitalism out of it, and you get junk. You get a monopoly. You get grease, as a matter of fact. You know, you got 50-whatever% of the population of Greece working for the government, and they wonder where the problem is.
It's not sustainable. I mean, if everybody's working for the government or is on the government payroll or handout, then who's working? I mean, this is not even a sustainable system. They want to talk about sustainable in the UN standpoint. You have to have people who work. You have to have people who pay taxes in order to pay for the people who aren't, for whatever reason. If over 100 million people now are on some sort of government assistance, it's a third of the country. It's not sustainable. And I don't care how much money they print. It doesn't work. They're just making it worse down the back end of this thing. And ginning up or distracting people with, you're the biggest victim of the week, is just putting off the inevitable. At some point, I mean, I've been hearing about this a lot. It's going to be a long, hot summer. It's going to be kind of crazy. People are really just riled up. It's going to be a bad summer. But if people would take a step back, stop being led by the nose with somebody telling you, people like Al Sharpton showing up, for example, telling you what to think, how to respond. That offends me. You know, I would be offended if I lived in one of these cities. And they told them in North Carolina, or was it South? North Carolina, I think, don't come here. And the cop shot the patient, the person running away. They didn't allow him to come into their state and foment anything. And they haven't had issues there. Interesting. He doesn't speak for black people. He really doesn't. But the media has hyped him. They only show him on TV. They don't even show. This is the funny part about the media, too. He showed up in Ferguson. He showed up in other places. He got booed out of there. Do you think they would actually put that on the screen? No. They showed one little, you know, clip of him in a church proselytizing, whatever the heck he does. Forget about the people who really can't stand him, who have stood up against him, they don't get a platform. And that's what the problem is. So we have a media that puts their another finger on a scale, shows you a narrow view of something over and over and over again, which promotes you to just ignore it and just assume things and not look deeper, think about the bigger picture, and you just do a knee-jerk reaction. And that's what we're moving towards, that direction. I certainly hope people will start thinking for themselves. I don't belong to a group. I'm me. And I make a decision based on what's between me and God, and what's good for me and my patients or my loved ones or, yeah, in humanity. I mean, I actually think about other people before I do things. And there's a lot more people like that. But we need to stand up and stop letting this social, you know, these guys are social engineers. They don't love people. They don't want us to succeed. They want to control us. And the only way they can do that is to keep us living in fear, hatred, the lowest emotional state that you can live in. That's what they thrive on. We need to just come out from underneath the yoke and do something different. So you're coming to the end of the show, but I want to let you know that you can follow me on Twitter at Medicine On Call. You can go to drelenageorge.com, which is my blog. And you can also go to Peachtree ENT Center if you're in Atlanta, or you want to come to Atlanta to actually get treatment and not be treated like a number. Because this is about everybody making a conscious decision to elevate themselves. And I'm all for anybody who wants to do that. On that note, I think we need to take a break, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to Medicine On Call. Have a great week.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.